Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week's episode, we're speaking to the amazing Brooke, and we're speaking about the life and the death of her beautiful son, Rye.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Mandy. Here we are on a glorious Melbourne winter day.
Yes, the sun, my gosh.
And when it's like it came in through the kitchen window and I just had a loaf of, you know, white bread on the bench and the bread was like, you know, the bag was a bit wet inside. I was like, oh, it's just so long since we've had any heat like that. It might have ruined my bread, but you made my day.
I was just like, no thermal?
Oh, yeah. It's
wow.
I know. It'll probably be 12 on Saturday, but who cares? Today is glorious.
Oh, yes. And we have a beautiful guest today. So would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm Brooke and I'm Rye Man's mum, basically.
Yes, you are. We have sort of known each other through Facebook for a long time and I've followed your journey, especially on Instagram as well. And so today we just want the world to know all about your beautiful son, Rye. So we'll get into that in a minute, but let's go with our questions that we ask everyone.
So our first question, do you have a favourite song or band or music that like really pumps you up or lifts you up?
Well, I guess my go-to song for a bit of a dance or, you know, I always get pointed out when it comes on is a bit of Love Shack.
Oh, yes. I love Love Shack.
The B-52s.
Yes.
Yes, but I guess in our house at the moment with the other two kids, there's a lot of The Floor is Lava. Dance parties at the end of the night.
Yeah. Fun. That will go on our 2P's Spotify.
Yes.
Well, there's that. Yeah. And then we've got one other song, which was one of Rye's funeral songs, actually. Mm. And even my Bowie was only three at the time and she heard it on the radio and she knew straight away it was Rye Man's song from the funeral, which was amazing to how she made that connection.
Don't wait. Beautiful. Can you tell us, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, I don't think I did. I can't remember. Besides sort of dance awards and diving, there was nothing.
Awards.
Yeah.
Diving.
Yes, a bit of diving. So basically dancing.
Dancing and diving.
Around
it starts
the water,
with a D.
So that was a bit of fun, yeah.
Yes. Did you do synchronized swimming?
No, I don't think that was ever on offer. No. I'd go with that.
It was ever on offer. I've seen people
I have a
do
friend
it.
Who did it at Ringwood Pool probably 20 years ago. Okay. Megan, if you're listening. Yeah, she definitely did it. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay, so no major awards.
No, nothing special like that.
not many people do.
Good company. And our favourite question, why are you a P?
Basically because of my beautiful son, Rye.
Yeah.
He came into the world pretty full on with a lot of special needs from within the first 24 hours, really.
Right.
So,
Tell us a little bit about that, about his birth.
So
he was full term, no real issues through pregnancy, and then I had a very unstable pelvis, so they decided to do a cesarean, which we were very fortunate for because he may have passed away if he was delivered naturally.
Right.
Then he started having seizures within, well, it was earlier than 24 hours, but they just sort of wiped it to the side and thought, oh, no, it's just normal life, getting used to the outside world, that kind of thing. And then they became bigger and stronger, and then pretty quickly he was whisked off up to the women's for to go to NICU there.
So, weren't in the same hospital?
No. So there was nowhere for me to go with them. So my husband went with Rye off to the women's.
And you'd had a cesarean.
And I'd had a cesarean, so I was sort of stuck.
Mm.
And, yeah, it was pretty horrible at the time. Cause, you know, bad introduction to parenthood. It wasn't what you expected at all. Mm. But, yeah, he always liked to keep us on our toes right up until his very last day.
Yes.
Never smooth sailing, but it was always entertaining, that's for sure.
Oh, and how long was he at the women's for?
Not too long. It was just a couple of weeks, so we were fortunate with that. But we discovered that he'd had a stroke in utero.
Right.
Which was, devastating to hear that there's something, you know, your child's got brain damage before they've even begun life, which was very hard to get our heads around. But we did expect that he would have had a couple of issues but nothing near where he ended up.
Right.
He was very early diagnosed with cerebral palsy from that brain damage. And, you know, our biggest concerns at around 6 months was that he would be able to walk down the street and not walk in a funny way or that he'd be able to go for a surf with his dad.
Yes.
Or, you know, we had these were our biggest concerns, you know, and that's what they thought. He would have a bit of a hemiplegia, so only affected on the one side.
Mm.
You know, he might have a bit of a limpy walk, but, yeah, unfortunately that wasn't the way his story went.
What was it like in those early days? Were you in physio and OT and speech, and were you thrown into that world?
Yes. So I owned a dance studio at the time.
Right.
And I tried to go back to work pretty quickly and then went, no, I need to take 6 months and figure out what is going on, what's this world we've sort of been thrown into.
Mm.
By the time he got to 3 months and we were realizing that there were some deficits, that he was going to need a lot of therapy and physio and early intervention, as everybody kept talking about. So we had to, you know, it was all the talk about the neuroplasticity and that we had to, you know, do everything to change his pathways to give him the best possible opportunity. So I decided to close my dance school and give him the best opportunity. I didn't want him turning around to me when he was a teenager or something and saying, why didn't we do more and why if I worked harder at a younger age? So I just didn't want to have any regrets and made sure I, you know, did the absolute best.
And how did you go, like, emotionally, because you obviously love dance, and then financially because your income was taken away?
Yeah, it was. We were lucky, I guess. My husband was finishing his – we were young parents, 24, 25, and he was finishing his apprenticeship and doing quite well. So he's an electrician and eventually opened up his own business. So you know, we had our struggles and we were very fortunate to have an amazing family that were able to support us. And the first grandchild, so very doted on by everybody.
Yes.
You know, and we made it work. We had to put him first. But we also came into the disability world at a time that we fell between the old system and in. So there was so much fundraising. Anything. He got the Better Start funding.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds amazing, but I think it was only 15,000 for up until 8 years of life.
Yes, ours was up until seven. Yep.
Or seven, maybe that's what it was. And he pretty much, because he was diagnosed at 6 months, which was young, he blew through that funding because he needed speech OT. He blew through that funding within a matter of, I think it was a couple of years, like very early. So all his therapy was privately funded for the most part at that, in those younger years,
And that's a lot of therapy in those younger years.
Where did you do that? Did you go to CPEC or anything, or did you do that privately?
Yes, he was private. He was through Scope as well.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to Yarrabah for the preschool, which was amazing. It was so beautiful. but it was hard yards. And
how did you go? Like, I feel like this is when parents and women are so amazing. Like, oh, well, now with absolutely no experience, I'm going to become a fundraiser.
Yes, you do learn a lot about fundraising. We had a few great fundraisers over the years. Also because we weren't getting the support with NDIS, it was all equipment. Any equipment you needed, you might have got a tiny portion funded for, but the rest you just had to come up with. So we did a fundraiser. Originally, Rai had we still have Ernie, our therapy dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, looking back, it's not a huge expense when you go into the disability world, but I think it was around, you know, $5,000-$6,000, and it was the best thing. Ernie and him had a bond like no other, and it helped him actually talk, and not that he could talk, but, you know, and get him motivated to try to move, and he walked with Ernie in a little harness, and, you know, that was amazing, and that was our first little fundraiser. And then my mum and I also had a auxiliary for the children's hospital, so we, you know, tried to raise funds there and help them as well.
Right.
So, that did really well. And then we had a huge fundraiser for our car to get our car modified.
The car is so a really huge, big issue.
Yes, it's a lot better now, I believe. But $25,000 to add on to a car is just, I think it's probably more like $35,000 now. So it was a huge amount of money. And we had a huge fundraiser at the aquarium, which everyone wanted to do every year. I'm like, no, that was far too much work.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because you're still parenting full time a child that had lots and lots of high care needs.
And his needs definitely, they just continued to increase as he grew up. So,
when did that start to change?
It was probably quite early on. So when he was younger, he could walk with a walking frame. Our initial thought was that he was going to be able to speak, and he did get some words, but we knew there was issues pretty early on, so we started doing keyword sign, which he was amazing at. He could only use one hand properly, but he signed 90 words. Yeah. We had to keep teaching the speech therapist how to sign.
Words,
He outsigned everybody that passed him.
What a legend.
And he would adapt signs. So instead of, you know, for saying ball, he would put it up against his hand and he would just change them. Or one day he was doing this hand signal to us and we're like, what are you talking about? Oh, TV. He wanted the TV remote.
And,
you know, he just found his own ways and, you know, you never needed to put him into a little, this is all you're capable of doing. Because he had his own ways of doing everything, but I guess with the speech then came, he's not eating very well. And I ignored it for a while because I was like, he loves his food. Let's just, you know, he's so happy. He would eat a cheesy mite scroll in a matter of minutes. And then the teachers at Yarrabah ended up coming up to me going, we need to discuss his eating. I was like, no, don't worry about it. Yes. Yep. You know, because he had lots of behavioral things going on and he swallowed, just he couldn't swallow or move the food around his mouth, and that was probably the first sign of his regression. And he also, he used a complex speech device when he was from 2 to 3, and it was quite a complex one. He had to press 2 to 3 buttons for one word. And he was putting 3-word utterances together really young. Like, he was doing amazing.
Yeah.
And then it just started, he started getting really frustrated and couldn't find the buttons that he wanted to press. And that was the start of him, looking back, we didn't realize, but it was the start of him losing his knowledge and what was happening. So he lost his speech and cognitive, all the signs he had previously learned, which was up to about 90 signs, had disappeared. He's
over a short period of time, or
it was quite short. Yeah. Like, for us, we're like, oh, maybe it wasn't that short, but when you go to the medical teams and say this, like, oh no, that's quite rapid.
And how old was he, school age?
That was he was about 4. No, so he was young. Yeah. Oh, 3 probably. And then, yeah, it started. So then we started going into more and more investigations. He became, he was nasal gastric fed the week I was about to give birth to Jed. So before we fell pregnant with Jed, which is Rye's brother, he had started to lose skills, but we didn't know the significance of it.
Yes.
So if we had waited another month, we maybe wouldn't have gone through with that pregnancy, because we didn't know, and we still really don't know what Rye's actual diagnosis is.
Right.
So he's a swan baby syndrome without a name.
Yes.
And that's when all the investigation started, all the genetics testing, all the, 80 million different tests that we could have had done. Still don't have those answers to really as to why Rye has regressed and changed over the years. But we were lucky. Jed's a beautiful boy with no real issues going on.
Yeah.
Nothing like Rye has. We were very fortunate, but that was, the start of all the changes, the feeding went, and then every part of him, I suppose, changed over the years. His gut shut down, his ability to walk, his fine motor skills, even like his favourite teddy that he had, his bunny, he used to flick his bunny's tail constantly nonstop, and he just sort of forgot about bunny. He forgot, about his chew toy that he loved chewing on. It was just, all these changes. But it didn't take away, his beautiful smile. Aww. It actually, as he changed, he came out of this autistic phase.
Right.
And became more calm within himself. Right. So we had a very bad period previously where he was diagnosed with autism.
Right.
The actual fact, it was probably the start of his regression and change.
Okay,
Yeah, so we went through
a lot of changes in a really short period of time. You were like, oh, he has had this traumatic brain injury, in utero. Oh, and he's had this. And like, how were your, you must have been busy and you had another little person to look after, but what, did you feel like you were getting hit with sledgehammers all the time? Or
I suppose every appointment, there was never, you always came away with something and finding something else new. Like, even if physio was going really well, I'd be like, oh, yeah, but we're going to have to look at this down the track, or, he looks like he's going to need this surgery or that medication adding something else new in. But we just took it in our stride and tried to make the possible life we could.
Yeah, you did.
And you love him.
Yeah.
Oh, more than anything.
Yes.
Just part of our world. We didn't change. We didn't go, oh, we're a special needs family and everything must stop and change. He came with us wherever we went. He was just, and everybody loved him and adored him.
When he
was very well accepted.
When he went to school, how did you choose schools?
That was quite challenging. we were at Yarrabah at the time because we were building. And because he was so cognitive, so at the age of 2.5, he was still on par for his age.
Mm.
We didn't want to go into a special needs school where he might not be able to get pushed. Mm. And this is when he was using his device and things. He went to school a little bit early because I was having Jed.
Right.
So we went to Nepean, the special needs school.
Yes.
It's for physical needs and all of those things. And he loved it. He had an absolutely amazing time to start with. But then as his needs changed and he became more stuck in his wheelchair, he needed somebody to do everything. He had constant peg feeds. He was vented 24 hours a day. He had lots of bowel and bladder issues, which ended up with two stoma bags. So two stoma bags and a pedge, as well as the draining the whole time. So it was hooked up. There was lots going on. And he just started becoming miserable at school. You know, there wasn't enough kids running around doing things. So that's when we started looking into mainstream schools and local schools. And I just thought, you know what, everywhere else these kids are just part of the community. Yes. I feel like segregate too much. Like why should they be separated from everybody else? And then our local primary school, I approached and they were just more than welcoming. They just wanted him to be, bring him here. Let's get him involved. And at that point in time, he couldn't handle full days of school, full-time school anyway. Yeah. So we changed that and he was just going part-time. And he was the VIP. There was
Tell us.
They just loved him.
Yes.
Loved it. He just, you know, the kids knew. They just learnt. We had his therapist come in and teach them how he would communicate with a pod book.
Yes.
Or, you know, if he's yelling and screaming sometimes or banging his arms around, what that might mean. Mm. But unfortunately, then we pretty much straight away went into COVID.
Yes, of course.
So it was just poor timing.
Oh. So how old was he when he went to mainstream school?
9?
Okay.
10? Yeah. So,
and you're Melbourne-based, aren't you, for those who haven't picked up on the suburb references. So, you know, I mean, Mandy and I haven't really mentioned it, but lockdown was for 2 years here.
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that took such a big time out of his life.
Yes, it would have. Yes.
But he was in his happy space and, you know, that was okay.
Yeah.
But he did miss those times with school. And then as we came out of COVID, he became much more unwell.
Mm.
So his breathing then regressed and his just everyday function posturally and that kind of thing changed. That's where he ended up, unfortunately.
It really robbed a lot of people
of
a lot of things.
Precious time.
Like, I know we did the right thing and we protected people, but
he was vulnerable too.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
Which we're all, you know, but the actual virus just took away so much.
Mm.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And tell us about, I know support workers came into your life with the NDIS, and it seems like there was lots of beautiful support workers in your life.
Yes, Rise Babes, as we like to call them.
Yes.
I think they self-named themselves when they went out and had a couple of drinks. Isn't and then they gorgeous? Told me, and they're like, is this inappropriate that we're calling ourselves Rise Babes? I'm like, no.
Enjoy. It's awesome.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been very fortunate, and we got a beautiful bunch of girls that have been in Rise Life. Oh, I think they originally started, some of them, when he was about 8.
Mm.
And most of them just came along for the ride the whole time. And I think a lot of people do struggle with getting support workers to come into their life and to stay and to give them that trust. But you have to imagine that it's uncomfortable for them to come into someone's house.
Yeah, they're working in a home.
And it's nerve-wracking working with these children. But at the end of the day, I'm not a nurse.
No.
I'm capable of doing all these things. So if you give them the time to learn and to feel comfortable in your house as well. So I know when we first started, I was told, no, they're not your friends, these are your workers.
It's a very fine line.
And it didn't work for us. I'm like, no, they're looking after my child.
Yes.
I want them to be comfortable with me. So
me too. You know,
they're all my friends as well.
Yes.
And they would have done anything for Rye, and they did.
They
really did.
They've all got Rye Man tattoos now.
Oh, amazing.
They're most of them are off at the moment going to one of Rye's carer's weddings, which is this weekend, which unfortunately I didn't get to go to, but, you know, they're all together and they all became friends because of Rye. So
yes, wow.
He brought a whole community together.
absolutely he
wow,
did.
Not many people do that.
I think that's important to listen to, that there's lots of different ways that we can cope with having support workers in our homes, and we all do it differently. It is scary.
But
and I just always think, oh my gosh, does anyone flush the toilet when they go, I'm just going to the toilet, and then I think, oh no, I say, I don't know, I haven't been in that one today, I hope it's okay.
Oh, until you've dealt with bow washouts. And,
yeah, that's true. That's nothing.
Bags, it's
don't
not
worry
one.
About that.
Yep.
The bodily fluid that went through Rye's room is not me.
Yes, of
and
course.
The girls did it. Obviously it's not a job for everybody. Yeah. But,
were they nursing students or nurses, or were they every day?
A couple of them. Yeah. A couple of them were just they wanted to be support workers, and that's the career they wanted to take. A couple of OT students.
Yes.
And we actually got a couple. That's how I got him into mainstream school. There was two of our workers had worked as education support.
Yeah.
So then when I approached the school, I said, look, I've got some girls that actually would like to be his aide at school. So they didn't worry about all
finding
that education that
came
along with it.
Yes.
So that did help us get into mainstream school. Either way, I probably would have found a way to get him there, because I thought it was so important for him.
And how old was Rye when you had your daughter?
So Bowie is now 4. Sorry.
It's hard to do the backward maths, the parent maths. What?
What is he? He would have been 12.
Eight.
Eight.
Oh, we all got there together.
I got there in the end. Yes, so Bowie was 8 when Rye was 8 when she was born. Yeah.
Yes, yes, and you were kind of in the thick of hospitalizations a lot, from what I could see on Instagram. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I didn't realize how much we were in hospital. Even in his last year, I knew we were in a lot, but then when I looked back, over the years and my posts going, oh, we're in hospital, we're in hospital again. And his 10th birthday, we threw a huge party, because I just sort of thought, oh, it's double figures. Like,
it's a big day.
Yeah. So we invited everybody. We threw a huge party. I wanted to thank everybody that had fundraised for him.
Yes.
He just had such a huge community of people that loved him. So we brought them all together. So I already had, when it came to his funeral, I already had these pictures lined up. So then all I had to do was go through his last year, because he passed away at 11 and 1 month. Mm. So, and then when I looked at those photos, his whole year was in hospital.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's the point we got to, was what's his quality of life.
Yes.
And unfortunately, because he was such a happy, energetic boy. He loved swimming in the pool.
Yes.
He loved crawling around. He loved doing all these things. And then when you look back and go, a life for him lying in bed with BiPAP on for 22 to 24 hours a day is just not, it's not a life for him. So, notice those changes.
I remember really feeling for you watching every time you'd be back in the hospital.
And yeah, we didn't stay out very much.
You didn't. You really didn't. And I remember one time you went on a holiday and I remember messaging you saying, go.
Yeah.
It makes me want to cry because you left him in the hospital and you went on a holiday with your other children. And I thought that was beautiful and brave.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It was very tough to leave him.
Yeah.
But again, I had those beautiful carers that died. I knew I was just a flight away.
Yeah.
And the other kids really needed it.
Yes.
You know, special needs siblings are amazing. And, you know, they say just look at a special needs child if you want, a special needs sibling if you want to know how to treat somebody with special needs.
That's right. They just love their brother.
Oh, unconditionally. Yeah. Right. Jed's hair, he has long hair, and he would pull it and yank it, and you know, 2 seconds later he'd go back and Jed would give him the biggest hug in the world. Like it's just an unconditional love
it's different. No one
else can understand.
No, they can't actually. Beautiful family.
But yeah, that trip was very important for our family.
And I could feel like it was.
And I think when it's really scary to let people look after anyone in our life that's vulnerable. But sometimes I look at myself and I think, well, if I was caring for that person, I would give them my best. And most people do give them their best. You get the odd person, but most people are good. So they, you know, they want to look after your child or your whoever is in your life. So it's really hard to trust, but actually really important.
Very. And I think Rye was always at the children's hospital and that's been a really hard part for me is that they were my family as well.
Yes.
You grieve not only the child that you've lost but the whole life that you were living.
Yes. And
the person that you were, you don't know who you are anymore without – that's what – Rye was my job essentially.
Yes.
You know, the people in the children's hospital, all the nursing staff, the teachers, the doctors, everybody, they were part of your family and they would do anything for you to help Rye and myself. Mm. And that's, you know, that's all gone now. Mm. So that's a big change that you sort of have to process along with the other things, along with not having the carers in my house every day. They're big changes, not only for me but for the kids as well.
I remember my friend Helena saying when her daughter Sunshine died, she felt like she was just on a holiday from her life and she couldn't work it out.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very different. A whole whirlwind. And I guess I'm starting to recreate myself again like I previously did. My life got turned upside down with Rye, but in the best way.
Yeah, turned upside down is not bad.
No, of course.
It just took a little, you know, turn in the road.
So how are you doing that? How are you?
So as with all special needs children, well, not all special needs children, but medically complex kids like Rye, their equipment and their bedroom is sort of a medical world.
Yes.
And we were fortunate enough to build a big house that was completely set up for Rye.
Mm.
But then, you know, as the equipment got returned, as things had to get sold off, his room sort of became not his room anymore.
Yes.
So, you know, we have taken things like the couch that was in his room is now in the kids' playroom because it just reminds us of him and you know, it's comfortable that way. But his bed was gone, his change room, all of those things had changed. So I went back to my roots and I've turned his room into a Pilates studio.
Oh, this is exciting.
So I've started working from his bedroom. So I'm still in his space and I have him around me.
Yes.
And I'm working from there, which is beautiful that I've been able to do that.
And what's the name of your business?
Balanced Pilates Studio.
Ah, okay. And do you have an Instagram or website or anything like that?
Yeah, just on Instagram.
Just on Instagram. Okay. And that's where people can find you?
Yeah. So I'm starting there and just, working from home, which is nice to be to be at home with the kids and, doing my thing, as well as I'm also doing disability work with Project Kick It.
Right. Okay. Tell us.
Who are just an amazing bunch of people who take kids, and I say kids as in just they're young adults, really. I was a part of them, and it's just taking them out to live life and to go to gigs, to go to concerts, to, go anywhere basically. So I just, tag along with them and just enjoy life. They're the happiest people
in
the world. And it's all different types of disabilities.
Yeah.
There's very able kids down to, guys like Rye that, sit mostly in their chairs but we just recently had on the weekend a prom.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it fills your cup. It just makes you feel so good and it makes me feel connected to Rye as well. Yeah. Still being part of that world because I've got so much knowledge and understanding and I just didn't want that to mean nothing anymore.
Yes, of course.
And that's with my Pilates, I can get those guys with on NDIS if they want to build some strength and stuff and understand where they're coming from, but then also, go out and party with them on the weekend. So we got all the girls, their hair and makeup got done and I think we had probably 7 wheelchair kids that, we got the muscle, got them into the limos and, off to the prom where they just had the best night of their lives.
It sounds incredible.
We danced the night away and just, they were just normal,
Right.
Yeah.
It's the best work, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I also think if there's women that live nearby you and they're pee mums and they're thinking, I would like to do some Pilates, they could go and they could trust you that you're absolutely one of them. Yeah? You're one of us.
Yeah. There's no shame, I've been there, I get it.
Yes, of course, because I think, we learn to maybe not share ourselves with other professionals.
And it's hard to, you feel guilty taking that time.
Yes.
Yeah, and I did it in the hospital as well. It took me, I don't know why, I'm a very active person and I've always been at the gym and doing Pilates or dancing or whatever it may be. And then a couple of years ago I went, why? It was after COVID and I was just like, why have I not been coming down to the gym
at the hospital,
at the hospital. Anyway, so I went down there and it turns out, I think – maybe the cancer ward parents were able to access the gym for free.
Right.
And I was like, that was on my to-do list to try to be like, all right, what about these complex parents?
Yes.
The parents that are living in the hospital from, from the day they're born to 18 years.
Mm. Yes.
That was on my list to do. So maybe that can still be my project to, just get that facility open to them because even if you're walking on a treadmill and just getting out of that room it really helps. So I did that and I went down to that gym and one day I remember I walked in there and he just looked at me, the owner, and he was just amazing and he just like, do you want to go and lie in the room up there? You look like, do you want to just go have a minute? And I was like, no, but he was happy for me to go up there and have a cry or whatever I needed to do.
He's in the right place in the right job.
Oh, yes, he's lovely. But, I just wanted to get in there and I needed to move a bit and that really helped me. And I think movement definitely helps everybody.
Mm-mm.
Whether you're feeling it or not, it can be just gentle and just to help you process what's going on.
Definitely.
Yeah, a different side of your, left brain, right brain, whatever, sort of comes out when you're
moving.
And it's the same, like walking or doing laps or, it's something, it's like meditative, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want to leave the hospital and walk away, being far away. So at least, if your child's up in ICU, if you go on that treadmill, you're not going to be far away. You can be back there in a second if needed. So
very true.
That really helped off-putting. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Would you be open to sharing a little bit about Rye's funeral? Because it looked really beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. I suppose his passing came quite quickly. Well, it didn't, but I think we probably weren't connected with palliative care as quickly as we'd hoped.
Yes.
Not that we had hoped, but I know other families that have been connected for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And I guess that part of that came from me being so on top of everything. And, you know, I always, you know, managed everything quite well. So maybe we weren't connected as soon because of that. Mm. But we didn't have that relationship with them. So then when we first did, everything happened quite quickly. And then we didn't have that connection. But after he passed, we just knew we wanted a party and a celebration. Yes, we were extremely sad.
Yes.
But he was a happy kid and we needed to honour that.
Yes.
And Jed's request was, you know, he wanted a jumping castle and a big sloth cake because sloths were his symbol. So, you know, I think we got the most extravagant, beautiful sloth cake made that you could possibly ever imagine. But it started from the start of his funeral. We had, as they were walking in, David, who's from the children's hospital, he did his service. And I probably should have warned him of the music that was going to be played at the start. Usually it's a bit of a sad song.
Yes.
Instead we had Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, Peppa Pig, Every Huggle Monster. We just had a compilation of
all his favorites, his
favorite TV shows because they just made him happy.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody had a little giggle and a laugh and, you know, that was the start. And then we were all dressed in purple because, you know, Rye, if he was picking colors out, it was always pink or purple.
Ah.
So, you know, that was very important. And we just had a party. So his funeral was beautiful as it could be. All of his babes got up as well. So they stood up together, you know, and said their little bit. And then we went to Common Folk, which is where we had his 10th birthday party. We had the jumping castle. We had temporary tattoos for the kids with sloths.
Wow. That's a lot of organizing.
We had a real tattoo artist come. There was, we probably should have had two because we had a list of people that we couldn't get through. So,
really?
Yeah, so many people got little sloths or an R or Ryman or, we got all these things that, so it was the first funeral she had had done, but it was, very much a party and we had sloths and balloons, everything for the kids as well, so. Yeah,
it was did an extraordinary job. Was
it
that
hit
all
me
you?
Afterwards?
I bet it did. Yeah.
But it was an amazing day, and I couldn't have honoured him.
Mm.
Yeah, it couldn't have been any better than what we had hoped for. So
yes. And you celebrated his life.
We did. Yeah, definitely.
Tattoo artist is such a good idea because nothing will ever make any of this okay. Or take away that pain. But to leave with something on your body that commemorates that, you know, it just, amazing. Gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, it was very special. And we, like I said, we didn't expect that many people to want to jump in the queue, but, they did.
And did you get, what was your tattoo? Do you want to show us
or
explain
to what you got?
Yep.
But now I have got, you probably can't see through Zoom.
We can see a bit.
I've got his hospital number, actually, his UR number, which is a really important number to me.
Oh, that's really hitting you right in the heart. Yeah. Goodness.
The hospital's, it's our second home.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it always will be. And there was a few. I've got an outline of his face.
It is too.
So we added on a few. His little pretzel, because he was a pretzel boy, nodding up his legs. He always sat in the most awkward of positions but looked comfortable. We had all these little nicknames. So there was all these little options that everybody could have chosen from, which was nice.
I just want to honor and respect the fact that in that grief you could think of those things, like you're an awesome, awesome yeah. human. Like that,
yeah.
It is a tough thing organizing a funeral, and to be able to think of all those things, that just all your love for him just shone out.
Yes.
And it came from everybody, I guess. Mm. Yeah. Mm. We're just very, very fortunate. He was very, you know, we gave him the best life possible, and he made all our lives brighter and
yes,
happier.
He did. Yeah.
You know, he never, oh, how do you do that? Like, and he was hard work, don't get me wrong, but you do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
he,
so you love hard him. Isn't bad.
No, that's right. Hard is not bad.
No. No, no, not at all.
And we're coming up to the anniversary of his death. How have yeah. you been doing? How have you been feeling?
So it's a hard patch. So my birthday is the 11th of June and I know we were in ICU and I had a bad panic attack. So I guess my anxiety through Rise Life sort of grew and with all the trauma and things that happened. But from that point on, you know, we go into his birthday, which was the 4th of July. So that was, you know, his first birthday. Again, that day we were off in the ambulance to hospital on his birthday, his final birthday. So that was really tough. And then we come into his anniversary. And at the moment, all you can sort of do is go back and think about those days and look, what were we doing? And my brain for the next couple of weeks is like, all right, this is the day we had that conversation. And then we decided this. And then we knew that BiPAP was going to have to stop. So we opened our house for the weekend and everybody came and saw him. And, you know, that was a really tough but beautiful time because people got to say goodbye to him. And then, of course, we turned BiPAP off and Rye being Rye, he just, you know, came to life. Wow. And I kept going. So the first night we were like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen because previously he'd been lasting maybe 20 minutes without support. And then, you know, the whole night went and we're lying in bed and we can hear Rye, yahoo! No. Like, what is going on? Like, he's, you know, he just had this, he had this week, almost a week of just his energy lifted. He started sitting up in bed. I kept calling the hospital going, I don't know if you've got this right, guys. Like, he's just, you know, and it was great because we got a really beautiful last week with him. We got to cuddle in his bed and, you know, his mask was off and he got to see his smile watching TV and those kind of things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's what I've sort of thinking about as we lead into this little patch up into his anniversary. And we also have a tree that my sister and brother-in-law, Jimmy Rees, got for us in the front yard now, which is an English oak tree.
Wow. Beautiful.
And it's the same age as him. So
what a beautiful idea.
Yeah, we were going to get a big one and then we thought this one came up and it's, 12, so the same age as he would be.
Yeah.
And Reese has put purple lights on it and we've got we've got plaques with pictures around the tree. All the carers and family have made little rocks. We painted rocks to put there and his entire class delivered rocks the other day.
We've
got all these rocks from his class. So now we have a place because he was cremated, so I think the kids, well, mostly Bowie struggled. I think it got to 6 months down the track and she said, okay, I want to go see Rye now.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She's like, can I go to the hospital? I miss Rye. I want to see Rye. Oh, okay. No. And we had to go through, it was almost like telling Jed when I told him for the first time. I had to tell Bowie again. And I'm sure it'll come up time and time again as they, you know, develop differently and have their little questions, but now we have a place that we go to, we can sit at, and that can be our place that we think of Rye. And
what a stunning idea of the tree being just, his age.
It's the most beautiful idea.
Yes, the memory tree.
Yes, of course.
It's a book that is sort of where that all came from as well. So a book about, you know, death and passing and so it's a nice one.
Yeah, it's beautiful and it's nice for us as people who haven't had that as lived experience to think about it and to understand what it's a little bit, you know, what not what it's like, but to demystify it.
Okay, yeah.
This is a really lovely way. Yeah.
It's a subject that nobody really wants to talk about. But I, unfortunately, being in this world, you know, I've got my tribe of hospital people. Like, yes. We've got our crew, the usual suspects.
Yes.
Usual suspects, we call ourselves. Who just live in the hospital,
yes.
In and out. We know everything, what's going on. But now I'm in this new world of parents who have lost their children. And unfortunately I've been to more children's funerals than I have adults.
Yes.
And it's okay to talk about them. It is
okay.
Yes, and that's what we want this episode for you forever.
Yes.
To have
all I ever want to do is talk about
him.
Rye.
Of course. Yes.
Everybody should be able to ask questions. Yep. And, you know, obviously some people will go, oh, are you okay to talk about him? And I am, and it might not be the same for everybody, but you don't want to pretend like they didn't exist.
No.
And it's okay to be sad. Like, yeah. I think as a society we're so obsessed with, are you happy? Are you okay? And my partner is a psychologist and she's like, you don't have to be okay. And it was like this really big, of course you don't fucking have to be okay. But you sort of feel like going, yep, I'm okay. And then you don't have to be okay. And she's like, and that's okay. And I'm like, why are we obsessed with that?
You don't need to fix being sad or anything like that. I'm going to have – and I probably grieve in a different way to other people and I'll do that in my own time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I go to bed and I've got my sloth teddies and I've got my – you know, I've got the ways I do things and that's my way and that's fine. But
everybody grieves differently.
Talk about him and you know, maybe I talk about him too much.
No way.
Like, do I bring up things with him? I'm not sure that people don't want to hear, but – you know, that's my experience.
Yes.
No, it needs to be more normalized because, you know, that's the one thing we're all going to do.
Yeah.
You know,
and
all of us will lose people we love and people we love will lose us. So I just think the more that you talk about it and you realize that that's a really big pain and you grief is just a part of you forever now. And how does that work for you? Because the same way that you love Pilates or whatever, someone else might like, I don't know, Netflix marathon or going for a walk in the rain. But what works for you? Because maybe I can take a little bit of that and it can help me.
Yeah definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing this most precious story of your heart with us.
Yeah. So honoured.
We're very honoured. Mm. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Is there anything we have missed that you want to tell the world?
Oh, I have no idea. Just that he was the most beautiful boy in the world and I'll forever miss him, but, you know, he's still with us.
Yes, he is.
Let the kids give him a kiss to the stars every night.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. He's got his tree.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Got his tree.
Thank you, Brooke. You did a tremendous job and I know our P listeners will love this episode.
Yeah.
And I just want people to reach out to you for your work, for your Pilates business. And support you, especially you're on the peninsula, is that right?
Yes.
Yep. So Peninsula Peas, this is your lady.
This is your Pilates,
okay.
Pilates.
Yeah. Well, I want your business to boom from this episode and I want the world to celebrate you and wrap their arms around you.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Yeah. So we will send everyone your way.
Yeah. Yes. Tough times.
Don't be scared.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do get it.
Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.